Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and happy Thursday to everyone. I'm Veronica McMillan. I'm your host tonight for Issues Concerning Women, the radio show. And I'm so happy to be on board with you all tonight. A chilly night. My favorite kind of season is the fall. So I am one of those persons that's jumping for joy because I do not like the too much heat or what have you. My favorite seasons are fall and spring. But I am I'm really excited to be on the show tonight. Of course, my co-host Francine Humphrey is not with me tonight. Of course, she's doing some other business in North Carolina. So it is yours truly tonight. So let me just tell you a little bit about Issues Concerning Women, the radio show. Some of you all hear it every week, but here we go, we're going to do it again. And so basically, Issues Concerning Women is basically the baby of Francine Humphrey. The organization focuses on women and families reaching long and short-term goals and assisting them in the area of business, career, housing, finance, and life skills. And of course, yours truly, Veronica McMillan of the Micro Nonprofit Network, is really what we try to do is to come in there and help nonprofits become organizational, to become organizations that are foundationally strong through education, coaching, mentoring, and program development for those who want to be 501c3 organizations. Our vision, Francine and mine, is basically really it's about the empowerment of women. And that doesn't mean that we don't do men, but we have a specific niche for women who are in business, those who want to have home ownership, they want to develop in their careers, looking at retirement, insurance, investment, our health, definitely entrepreneurship, which is, of course, my baby that I love, 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 love so much, and relationship building, and, of course, adult literacy. It really is for us, our mission is just being a voice for women and for men as well, to help them to create the business that they want and to be able to provide them with tools and strategies to make their businesses be successful. So tonight, what I'll be talking about is what not to do when starting a nonprofit, because typically what I would do is really just jump in there and say, hey, these are the things that you need to do. But what I'm seeing more and more and more is so easy now to get the 501c3, but what's happening is people are just making crazy mistakes because they haven't thought it through. And what I tell people all the time, that the why I do this is to let them know some of the mistakes that I've made. So if I've made these mistakes, and I can say to you, hey, bridge is out down there, don't do that, then you should take the wisdom that I've learned through this, take the information that I've learned through this, and say, I'm going to use that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do something else. And that's the whole goal of coaching and mentoring and educating individuals and understanding what it means to be a nonprofit. And, of course, if Francine was on the show, she would be talking about the for-profit side of it. But all of it, basically, understand that a nonprofit runs the same way that a for-profit organization, the only difference is organizational structure. And I think that that's going to be important. So that is what our conversation is going to be about tonight. But before I jump into some of the points that I want to share with you all tonight, I really want you to, if you need to connect with Francine, you can connect with her via her email at icwdirector@gmail.com. And you can certainly go to the website at issuesconcerningwomen.org. And if you need to reach out to me, you can reach me by email at info@micrononprofitnetwork.org, or you can go to our website at micrononprofitnetwork.org. And so tonight what I did, I said that I was going to put out some strategies of the do not do's. Don't do this, because I think that if you can take these things and say, okay, am I doing that? If I'm doing that, let me stop and come up with another strategy. Let me come up with another pathway of doing what I'm doing. So the number one thing that I said, what you should not do, not understand what you're getting yourself into when you say you want to be a nonprofit corporation, because you follow all of the guidelines that's set for corporations, be it, you know, you 2 months old or 200 years old. Of course, we have organizations that not that old just yet, but you want to basically start researching the area that you really want to open your nonprofit in, and then develop your niche. Because what's happening is, over and over and over again, what we're seeing is organizations start, I want to help girls with self-esteem, or I want to help girls, you know, because I was abused, and so I want to help those girls who've been, you know, sexually molested or what have. Not saying that you cannot do that, but when you start and you start researching, you start looking at who's doing that sort of kind of work now. Because one of the things, and I'll probably mention again as I talk, one of the things that you just got to know is that in the nonprofit world, funders do not like duplication of services. So if they already have programs with Girl Scouts and the Junior League or other nonprofits that are serving girls, or let's say, for instance, Salvation Army got a girls program, and United Way with their agencies have girls programs, serving all of those things. And then here you come, the newbie on the block, serving that same population of girls. It is going to be hard, I'm not saying impossible, to get a funder to support that when they already have 10 other agencies that are supporting that. So if you're going to support that specific population, how are you different? How are you different in the things that you all are going to do versus what others are doing? So really, really, really research that specific market, because this was something that I did in 2005. You know, it was really, I think I came in at the time, because this would be my second nonprofit. I think I said that before. When we came in, it was easier to get grants then than it is now. And we were able to come in and work with different agencies and organizations, because we were new and because we had a couple of programs that were just a slight difference than what other programs were doing, and that's kind of how we ended up with our funding. So I really, really, really want you all who are interested in nonprofits. So tonight is going to be about the nonprofit. So take your notes, share that with a friend, so that friend will know, hey, this is what I heard on issues concerning women about this whole nonprofit and what not to do when starting a nonprofit. The other piece is not understanding the financial toll that it's going to that you're going to have to experience, that's going to take on your own or pull on your own finances just to get your feet off of the ground. It takes a whole bunch. Can your personal finances handle another $1,500 to $2,000 monthly to support your organization? Or do you have money somewhere else? Do you have other people to be able to help you? And are you looking at the money that you have on hand, and will it be enough? And oftentimes when I'm working with our nonprofits, basically one of the things that I say is, do you have a board-approved budget? Do you have a organizational budget, and do you have a program budget? Because your program budget is going to be specifically for your girls program or whatever it is that you have. And if you don't have, because you can't just do chicken dinners and pencils and popcorn and candy every month, certainly you have to be in the fundraising mode, but you also have to build relationships so that somebody can hold the door open for you when you get your program well developed. And they can say, hey, I know XYZ is doing this, that, and the other, and you need to be in that room, that meeting, so that you can hear what you need to do. But you got to be able to have access to capital. And so where is that money coming from to get your organization off of the ground or to get your organization moving for the next 5 or 6 years. Let's say you do have your financials can handle it, but then you have a sickness or somebody, there's a tragedy in the family or something happens that just kind of floors you. And you know, life happens. And now we're kind of like, oh my God, we were great for these 3-4 years, but now we can't take on $2,500 a month, or we need to do something where we can have maybe a business line of credit or what have you. So really what I'm saying to all of this is making sure that you understand the financial toll on your personal finances that it's going to take, or are you prepared to go out and get you a loan or what have you? And if you're going to be doing that, you have to have a well-developed business plan. So I just want you to think about, these are just little nuggets, some mistakes that I made getting started or what have you, and things that I now know that I'm still doing myself. Some of these things that we're saying or I'm sharing tonight with you all, Francine and I, we're in the throngs of it as well, because we're small businesses. Both of our business issues concerning women have been around 12 years. The micro nonprofit network is in its 4 years. This is our second nonprofit. So really, really, really think about that. And then the other piece of this, when you're doing your research, is who's doing the same thing that you're doing. That sort of kind of goes back to that duplication of services, which means that you're really going to have to do a needs assessment. Again, I didn't do that when I got started. I just jumped in. I finished my master's degree. I wanted to help women. I just jumped in with both feet and not understanding, if there are people that's doing the same thing, can you partner with them in a way that you can do what you're doing and they can do what they're doing and both of you all win? Oftentimes we don't do that, and that becomes an issue, because you've got to know if there are 25 organizations already serving girls and you come along and you said all ours is a self-esteem program, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle. Not saying that you can't do it, but you're going to struggle during those infancy time periods when you're trying to get that organization off of the ground, because people know the larger organizations. That's what comes to mind for most organizations is, hey, are you connected with Girl Scouts? Do you not know about Jack and Jill? Do you know about this, that, and the other? And so you really, 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 really want to know who's doing what you're doing, and then how can we partner? And then what I always say when I'm working with my nonprofits and where I'm helping them and mentoring, coaching them, I say create your SWOT analysis. I did a training for a nonprofit last month, and one of the things I was training their board was basically looking at the SWOT analysis, because the SWOT analysis is a great indicator to say, okay, let's look at every area. So let me give you, it's an acronym for strengths, weakness, opportunity, and threats. Again, it is an acronym for strength, weakness, opportunities, and threats. And so you want to create that. So just on a piece of paper, you know, just do quadrants for each of those letters, and then say to yourself, what are the strengths of our organization? Do we have a strong board, or do we have we got an awesome marketing platform? People know who we are because we are on Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, all of, and I'm sure that there are more. And as I was teaching some of my classes, another facilitator came in, and she said, Facebook is for old people. So I said, oh, I'm an old person then. But there are those of us who are still using Facebook. People are using Twitter, Tumblr, all of the whatever that you have. If that's your strong suit, then that's a strength for you. And then I want you to turn around and say, okay, so what is our weakness? What area do we really need to strengthen? And it could be, well, our board really needs development, or we don't have a strong digital footprint, or we don't have marketing material. Every organization has something. I know for us, basically one of the things is marketing, because so many people come to me by word of mouth. I don't really have a great marketing tool or platform of all of that stuff, because typically 1 month, somebody will tell somebody, then I'll get another, then I'll get another, then I'll get another. So I really don't have to put a lot of energies into it, but if I want to expand and if I want to get better at what I'm doing, and I do, I'm going to need somebody that has that specific strength. I am speaking to a young lady today, and we're going to get together on some things. I know that my niece does T-shirts. I need to get with her to create T-shirts for me so that I can have those, give those out as giveaways and things of that nature so that you become a walking billboard for me because I cannot be everywhere. So that's a weakness for me. So you got to think about what is your area of weakness. And then the other piece of that in this acronym is O, opportunities. What opportunities do you have? Do you know a lot of people? Are you on board for other nonprofits? Are you in the school system? Are you a person that's a community leader? What opportunities do you already have that you can then use that as a jumping off spot for you? Because those things everybody doesn't have. Everybody doesn't have that. And so that is an opportunity for you. Certainly use that because that's going to be important to you. And then finally, T. T is threats. I remember back in the day I was helping a young lady. She said, oh, we don't have any threats. And no one's doing this. And then I was like, well, what's your population? Oh, we're going to be serving girls. You do have threats. Your threat is every organization that's serving girls, because especially for those who've been out doing it for a while. And so you just got to really, really, really got to dig in there and say, okay. And if you're just getting started, just start talking to people. Start talking to people like, hey, this is kind of, you know, what I was thinking about. Talk to your board. This is what we're doing. And you all together strategize and brainstorm around this particular issue, because it's so you'll be surprised at the things that will come out of just that brainstorming session that you all have. And so I just wanted, that's point number one. And so tonight you're listening to Veronica McMillan on Issues Concerning Women, the radio show. If you need to connect with me, you can connect with me at info@micrononprofitnetwork.org. That is our email, or you can go to our website at micrononprofitnetwork.org. If you need to connect with Francine, you can connect with her at icwdirector@gmail.com, where you can certainly go to the website of issuesconcerningwomen.org. Tonight we're talking about what not to do when starting your nonprofit. So it's really important that you start doing these things. But here's an area that I think that we don't talk about a lot when we start businesses and stuff, because what happens is you just say, I want to do this, or somebody encourages you to do it. Oh, girl, you should start a business. Oh, you should start doing this, that, and the other. But what we also have to do is we have to deal with your unhealed wounds and trauma, because in business, everything is going to hit you sideways from the top, from the bottom. And you'll meet people that rub you the wrong way, and things will come up. And so we don't often talk about that. And this is the counseling side of me that's coming out, that I realize that when I'm dealing with people in business and even myself, and knowing that there are areas, I don't like conflict, you know what I mean? And so for me, that, you know, if I'm in conflict with somebody, I may back down from saying what I really want to say because I don't want it to escalate into something else. But that's an area that I need to really, really work on, because in business, you're going to have conflict. You're going to deal with people that you don't necessarily like, or they get on your nerves or what have you. You can't go around and be slapping everybody and doing crazy stuff. So deal with your unhealed wounds. And we don't hear that a lot in business. And I'm finding out that there are a lot of wounded people. I was at a networking event about earlier part of this week, and it was Christian Women's Alliance had a wonderful, and I'll talk more about that, had a wonderful networking event. And something that the pastor said, because this Pastor LaQuinda Hunter is the president and founder of Christian Women Alliance, she said she know a lot of high-powered women, but they are not nice. And you just think about that in the business world. You're going to have to be nice to somebody. You're going to have to get to know some people. You're going to have to do some stuff. And so the more you can deal with your own stuff, the more you can get it flushed out and realize that, man, I should have done that a little bit better, or I can do that a little bit better. I'm going to get some help, or I'm going to go to that specific group. At our church, we're doing small group, and our First Lady is doing a group on focus. And one of the things that I said in response to a question that she asked is that I was really going to focus on me because I'm a person that typically gives away so much more than I get. And after a while, it wears on you because you become spiritually bankrupt. You become physically bankrupt. You become bankrupt in your mind, in your thoughts, and in your thinking. And so you really have to dig in there and look at that. And what I don't see in business is where we're focused around that emotional, social, spiritual aspect of what it means to be in business, and that's requiring us to be whole or at least working on our stuff so that we're able to say, you know what, I know about that, and I'm working on that. And so my second point here, so I'm hoping that you all are getting this and that you'll be able to share with someone else about this. The other area that I put down here, number two, is not planning for the long haul. Not planning for the long haul in the nonprofit world. Understand, and I probably said this 10,000 times, and here's 10,001. You got to understand that a nonprofit, it takes 8 to 10 years before you really get your sea legs in, where you can really stand alone, stand on your own 2 feet without wobbling. I remember Dr. Robinson from Regent University said most nonprofits, when they get started, are on life support, and he is so right about that. So right about the fact that because you're learning and you're sucking air from so many different places and you're trying to get this and you're trying to get that and you're trying to get you're on a diet where you're not getting the best nutrition and all of those things. And so we got to look at, you got to plan for the long haul until you are able to stand up on your own 2 feet. Not having to say, oh, my God, this is so horrible. This is what we're going to do or whatever. This is how we roll. This is what we're doing. This is our get down, and this is how we do it. We've been planning and strategizing this for so many years. Now that we're in it, we're in the grind, but we made ways to have monies over here for that. We have a strong program over here, and then I believe in the nonprofit world, you need a fee-based service. You really need to have that because typically what happens, nonprofits that are really just getting started, you're not going to see grant monies come in until about year 4, possibly year 5, because of the fact that funders want to see you to have at least a 4-year track record. They want to see that you have proven practices, programs that have demonstrated great outcomes. You got great evaluation tools. You're looking at your board. You're looking at your community engagement. You're looking at everything, and you got all of those areas. All of those areas are cooking. And they are not something that basically you're starving yourself off of. So you got to understand, you got to plan for the long haul because without the planning for the long haul, you give up so long the way because you get so frustrated, you get so overwhelmed there. I had a nonprofit to send me a text today that they had some information. They thought they had it right. I told them what they needed to do. They got it, but then they got confused with the questions and all of that stuff. And so you really got to understand that there's a lot of stuff that's in place, and can you withstand it? Do you have the resiliency and the resolve to stay in there? Because that's why that you hear that most businesses fail by the time they get to year 5 because they're so worn out. They're trying to do everything. And that's what happens to us as small nonprofits or small businesses. We are wearing 25 different hats, and we got to be able to get some people who can do some of these things for us. Again, referring back to CWA's networking event, one of the things that Pastor Hunter said was that she basically has people, she knows she can't do it all, but she has people that can do it for, she has experts in that particular area that she pays for. So if I need that done, I'm basically her nonprofit guru, her logistical partner or what have. So when she needs something done on the nonprofit end, forms and all that stuff, she pays me to do that. And she doesn't have to worry about it because she knows I do it well. She knows I'm going to do it right, and she's not going to have any worries. So she has me to do that, somebody else to do that, somebody else to do that. And so she's not wearing herself out. Now, does it cost? Yes, it costs her to do that, but yet she's in a place now where she can afford to do that. And so sometimes it may mean like I remember listening to, I was at another event in Washington, D.C., and one of the young ladies was saying, she said, can you afford $10 per hour for someone to come in and do, you know, possibly 10 hours a week? So we're talking about $100. Or can you pay $10 an hour and somebody come in for five hours and do all of your administrative paperwork for you each week? And now you're not juggling all of that. So we got to really think about how are we strategizing and how are we basically getting the most for our dollar. I know for myself, I need to network more. As much as I talk and as many things as I do, I'm trying to be very strategic about where I network, who I network with, and how I'm spending my time. So that's important. And then I think in the nonprofit world, what we don't understand is the role of board members. You've got to understand that in the nonprofit world, you just got to have a sound board. You got to have somebody on there that's willing to get in the ground with you. This is the problem with all nonprofits. Most nonprofits do not have strong boards because the board has two roles. Fiduciary simply means y'all got to help us make money. You got to help us go out there and fundraise for us, and most people don't like to do that. And there's some people, and I've come across a couple of people in my career that love fundraising, and I wish I could get them to be a part of our board to fundraise for us, but we have some other things in place that I believe is going to be able to give us some more consistent income coming in. And so a board member has to do that, and then governance is really about that organizational structure, the mission of that organization to make sure that it's sound, that we understand that we ain't doing no crazy stuff. Everything is being done and done well and excellent in the things that we do. What we're not planning for is volunteer responsibility. We don't have manuals. We're not doing background checks. We're not making sure that volunteers are not going out there and giving incorrect information or saying anything or either defaming another nonprofit or something like that. We got to get that under control so that people are going to volunteer for your organization. Is there a volunteer application that you have them fill out? Is there a form if you're taking pictures? Are you doing confidentiality forms? All of those kinds of things are so important when you think about this because, again, usually for those of us who are in the nonprofit world, we're change agents. We want to see change. We want to impact our community. We want to do something for our communities in ways that we haven't seen done, but yet we don't understand the business side of it, which gets us in trouble because passion alone is not enough to carry that your nonprofit on, which certainly we're passionate about what it is that we're doing, but yet we got to understand that we have board members and we got to do that. So that's another area for our organization that we're still working on as well, is really getting the board members in place to really do that and so that you're not wearing yourself out when you are trying to do all of it because many of us, when we start our nonprofit organization, we carry the weight. We carry it 90% of the time. It's on the executive director, it's on the founder because they're the ones that carry the vision. And so you really have to think about that. And so these are just some ideas that we throw out there to people to say, really look at that structure of your organization and understanding that a nonprofit is governed by its board. You're listening to Issues Concerning Women, the radio show, and I'm your host, Veronica MacMillan. If you need to reach out to us, you can reach out at info@micrononprofitnetwork or micrononprofitnetwork.org. If you need to reach out to Ms. Francine Humphrey, you can connect with her at icwdirector@gmail.com. That's her email address, or issuesconcerningwomen.org. It has been an absolute pleasure to talk with you all tonight. As I said, every Thursday at 6:30 p.m., Francine and I will be here, or one of us will be here to carry this show on. Reach out to us, but reach out to each other. We're in a world where there's so much craziness. You just got to love somebody. You just got to get out here and just do something good. So be light, be loved, and be blessed. And we will see you all next Thursday. Bye-bye now. Take care.